Dear Diary, my teenage angst bullshit has a body count. And no, I'm not pulling on my own dick. Heather once told me that real life sucks losers dry. If you want to fuck with the eagles, you have to learn to fly. In whatever heaven she's in now, I hope she's flying and singing kumbaya for all eternity. She can have all the BQ corn nuts she wants now and not even have to purge. That's right, Heather bit the bullet, bought the farm, chugged one Drano cocktail too many. I didn't technically kill her, but I did hock a good loogie in memoriam. At least she won't have to worry about the myriad of problems that come with being pretty, popular, and a complete skank anymore. Why couldn't she just be a friend? Why was she such a mega bitch? I thought all the kids at Wisterberg could go back to baking cookies and eating glue without Heather, but it turns out she's more popular dead than alive. She started yet another trend. Teenage suicide is very now. And I'm not talking about the song. Chaos killed the dinosaurs, huh? Well, now I can understand why. All I wanted, all we teenagers want, is to be treated like human beings, not to be experimented on like guinea pigs or patronized like bunny rabbits. Well, this pâté and our tête-à-tête has been fun, but I gotta run. JD told me to meet him at the Snappy Snack Shack for slushies later, but I have another funeral to sit through. Fuck me. What's your damage, Heather? Come on, losers, we're playing croquet tonight, but don't forget this. I'm red, Heather. I'm always red. Well, fuck me gently with a chainsaw. Heather's is on the marquee tonight at Nightcaps at the Theater. Lick it up, baby. Lick it up.
Where everybody just does like memes.
This looks obnoxious.
It is.
I can't deal with this.
Should we record our reactions
to HQ? I'm doing it now.
Oh, it's not Scott. Damn it.
Who this girl?
I'm not sure what her name is.
Oh, nice Titanic ref girl. Oh no, she's used the HQ pun three times.
That's the reason for this show's existence. Normally, Scott calls us HQDs.
HQDs?
Sarah Freebus, that's who it is.
How does she know what day it is? She's in the phone.
No, this is live. What? This is happening right now.
This is her job?
Yep, they pay her, presumably, peanuts.
No.
Oh, lots of peanuts, though.
Yeah, that's a dream job.
They pay her thousands of peanuts to host this twice a day for 10 minutes.
Oh, man. I need to get up in this gig, girl. I think it's jelly. Oh, we got that one. I'm pretty sure.
Meatloaf is tempting, though.
She's a killer. You told us you'd stop singing.
I feel like she
Sarah,
doesn't.
Sarah, or whatever her name is.
She doesn't normally sing this often. See, I like Scott because
she's lied to us already.
Scott would have made a Flaming Lips reference. He's into like indie music.
Are they a thing, Scott and Sarah?
Ooh. HQ gossip and speculation.
Yeah, HQ boards. I need to find it on the HQ Reddit.
I'm gonna be found dead in a twin size bed. We made it past the first two. Now there's no shame whenever we do lose.
I feel like if I say yes, she'll, you know, accept me.
No, she can't hear you.
Well, I don't know. She's there talking to us.
No, we hear her. She doesn't hear us. It's gotta be bowling. I've played enough Wii bowling to know that.
I remember that. Da 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 da.
Clunk. Hashtag free Scott in the comments. A lot of times people talk about Bitcoin, which coins people should buy. Fuck. Oh, I actually ran out of time, but I was tapping it. Damn it. I was eliminated, though. I was tapping it.
Slow your blow, hon. Didn't tap. Sarah saw your thumb was over the line.
God.
Disqualified.
Well, the listeners don't know that. To blow. Or, well, I guess they don't. To breathe.
to blow. God damn it. This app cheats, apparently, because Matt was tapping that. Rigamorous.
Really? Most people did not know that. Well, that makes me sound a lot more... That does not make me sound humble at all.
Well...
Are we still in it, baby? Good thing I chose Fitzwilliam.
So is there like one winner in all of America?
See, the thing is, the prize is $2,500, right? You saw that?
Yeah.
They split that amongst all the winners.
Oh, so you get like a penny.
Exactly.
Lavender? No. Not peppermint. Your eyes... I think it's lavender.
I feel like peppermint wakes people up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow. No, we didn't. You could see us.
Lots of people got it.
Crazy witch lady who lives on the phone.
I would have just guessed that from Lavender Town. From
Pokemon.
Pokemon Red and Blue and Yellow. My friend was whistling, or my coworker was whistling that this morning. I was like, is that Lavender Town?
Millennials. Las Vegas.
That's what I'm guessing.
What's the first one? Bilon.
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 Biland.
Bilon.
I mean, yeah, I'm going
spelled
Vegas.
Billand. Ugh. All right, I'm already would throw the phone out. I wonder if she has depression or like really deep insecurities.
Denmark, of course. Denches?
Judy Denches. Why don't we use that money for other things?
Like the wall.
Yeah. Give me my money.
How do I get my money from here?
Yeah, I know. Where's the coin purse? I would do anything for love,
but I won't do that.
Ugh, I don't remember. Girl, you know how long it's been since I've had a civilized game of Monopoly?
Oh, I just saw 69 and I clicked. Fudge.
Does Sarah get that money? I don't know. I'm not a Congress lady. What are we doing with our lives?
Yeah, we're not there. We got time.
Yeah.
Congressman, Congresswoman, that's something you could learn in a few months, right? She does suffer from depression. Confirmed.
Oh, you're older than 30, Sarah?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Whose soul is she eating? What picture does she have hidden away in her attic?
Oh my gosh, the dubstep comes in. Kids!
Really? You get slimed?
The way she answers these questions are stupid. Oh, that's why people are so excited over this damn app.
Holy shit, $53 each person.
Wow. Where does that money come from? Is it delivered to our door?
Well, any listeners out there, if you were entertained by this and also won $53.19, don't forget, we have a collection box right outside. Just hop on by and pay your respects? No, pay your...
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the latest, greatest, newest, dewiest episode of Nightcaps at the Theater. Matthew Cabrera, my lovely co-host, just introduced me to HQ Trivia, and I am flummoxed by it. I don't understand what's going on with it at all.
It's what the kids are into. I'm not sure what else there is to it more than that.
I'm telling you, we have to get on the next trend so we could ditch this podcasting business. We've been in the game so long. Mm-hmm. We need to find the new thing and make some money off of that. Yeah.
To the new cash cow.
Mm-hmm. How was your week, Matt?
Not too bad. Not too bad. My week. nothing really happened, I suppose.
Nothing at all?
So most weeks. It's like most weeks.
Yeah, I guess. That's cool.
I watched the season finale, possibly series finale, which I'm really upset about, of Great News on NBC.
I don't know.
Fantastic show. It's very much like 30 Rock.
Yeah, oh.
No.
I like 30 Rock, but I haven't seen Great News.
Yeah, it's got no real 30 Rock alums, but outside of, like, I believe a couple
but
of the writers.
But the humor's in the
Yeah, a couple of the writers from 30 Rock created Great News, and it's Tina Fey had a recurring role in season 2. Has Briga Heelan or something like that?
Name sounds familiar. We should know this since we're in a movie-focused medium.
Oh, I think she's only done TV.
Oh, okay, good. Well, thank God. We could shove that one under the rug.
Yeah, I only know her from Love on Netflix, which was a pretty good show.
The Lana Del Rey song?
Love. Oh, yeah. The one in which she smiles... or she learns to smile. Yeah, she tries to smile.
Yeah, well, she always tries to smile. Bless her hearts.
She does like what an alien's approximation of
smiling is. She just pouts.
She studied it for like a couple weeks.
You ever seen the movie Mars Attacks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, she's like that woman in Mars Attacks with the hands swaying side to side and the big hair. Yeah.
Yep.
I think that was a lot of fashion choice. But since we're on the tangent of TV, a certain show premiered, came back to me again this week. I forced you to try and watch it a couple times.
Oh, of course, of course. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star Season 3.
If you aren't watching it, ladies and gentlemen, what are you doing and listening to this podcast? Go tune into VH1 and go look at Mother Ru and these drag queens compete for $100,000 and much, much more. I am addicted. There are many podcasts out there that also I listen to that focus on RuPaul's Drag Race, and I recommend it highly. Other than that, my week's been okay. It's been a little rough and tumble. I'm ready for a movie and a couple of drinks. We had some big movie news this week.
We had a
certain list of epic proportions that we might want to talk about.
Yes. Ugh. You're setting yourself up for disaster.
This Best Picture nominee is going to be the most rigged thing ever.
You think so?
I'm very upset.
Wait, there's only one?
The Best Picture.
Which nominee in particular you think are you?
Well, I think if we lived in a perfect world,
mm-hmm.
Call Me by Your Name, Get Out, Shape of Water, and maybe Dunkirk would win, but I doubt any of those will win Best Picture. I think it's going to be Three Billboards, which I have a lot to talk about.
You watched it?
I watched a lot this week. Nice. I caught up with I, Tonya, Three Billboards, Ooh. Rewatched Shape of Water.
Damn, son.
Yeah, and I really liked Three Billboards going into it, but as you were saying last week, you like to stew on a movie.
Right.
I immediately shot that down and said, no, I could watch a movie and know how I feel. I stewed on Three Billboards, and it turns out I didn't like that movie.
Really?
I liked it first. I think deep down, there are some fucked up things in that movie.
That makes sense. I feel like that's Martin McDonagh's N.O. Yeah. N.O.
Well, I feel like Martin McDonagh doesn't know what a rural American town is really like, either.
That's possible.
I feel like he thinks everyone just says, goddamn, 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 curse, 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 slur, 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 hate this person, and then whatever. That Irishman.
I would watch that, though. I would, even if that's not an accurate depiction of rural America, I would totally
rural urban Missouri. Yeah, Frances McDormand was killer in it.
That's what I hear. I haven't seen it.
I
need to watch. Yeah, I still need to watch so many things,
and you know how I feel about Fishman. I think that should win. And then Lady Bird is in this category, and no I, Tonya in Best Picture. What are we doing wrong? There is a ploy, there is a plot, a conspiracy theory behind these voters, because
I think the Academy just has something against comedies. I mean they did put Get Out in there, which was very nice of them.
If Get Out won, we're in the best timeline. I think that's the case. You know it was a sympathy nod, because these voters, they're on their high horses.
It was just such a tight film. There was nothing wasted in it. It kind of reminds me in that respect of Fargo by the Coen brothers.
And then I have a big rock in my shoe over the post, because
Did you watch it?
No. And I'm not going to, because I love Meryl Streep, and we have a little bit more Meryl Streep news to get to that I want to talk about. Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah, great actors.
Great actors, but they can shit in a bucket and get nominated for it. And I think we're done with this point. We know they're actors. We know they're great. But they don't have to be nominated for everything they fucking do.
Yeah, it's almost the 20s. It's almost the 2020s. We need to let go a little bit of our past idols.
Yeah,
as great as they've been, and deserving.
Meryl does not have one of her many sniper rifles trained in this room. I respect Meryl as an artist. She is a great actress.
Definitely.
But come on. Great. They do not need to win these categories anymore. Yeah. Continuing on with Meryl, if you watch the show Big Little Lies, which you should, it's a great show for any boozy housewife out there. Meryl herself descended on high with her host of cherubs and seraphims and said, yay, I will be in Big Little Lies season 2, and it will be good, and ye will watch. And we all screamed. The internet broke over this news because Meryl has deemed us worthy.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be a big role.
Still, week after week,
well, the first,
hitting our television sets.
More Meryl.
This is pretty much unprecedented. When was the last time she was on TV?
I should answer that question. I have no idea.
I know that she was in a Holocaust miniseries 40 years ago. So 4 decades ago, it's from 1978.
She was in Angels in America. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll count that. Yeah. Okay.
That was a miniseries. That counts. Yeah, like, but I feel like she's definitely popped up here and there around the Mulberry Bush.
It's a very rare occurrence, especially for something like this. I feel like this isn't really a miniseries kind of thing. This is a season of episodic television.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, the Golden Globes would disagree because the first season, I don't think they expected to do more of Big Little Lies after the first. And but
have you seen it?
I've only seen the first episode.
You should. I stopped halfway through because I legitimately predicted the ending because I'm just that intelligent. No,
I did the same thing with Mr. Robot after one episode.
I think that the last episode totally made up for that. There's some great actresses. Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon. Crazy. The girl from the OC Woodley. Or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, but they were all
Divergent
great.
Divergent series.
One time I was forced to watch Divergent, and I was literally contemplating taking the pillow and smothering myself with it. It was not fun. Oh, we forgot to... I'm scrolling down. Supporting actress. If Allison Janney doesn't win for I, Tonya, I will riot in the streets. You will see me with the picket signs. I'll take Octavia Spencer. I like her. She could win a few more, but...
She could win a few more.
Allison Janney needs to win for her. She... was the reason why I kept watching I, Tonya. And I loved I, Tonya, but she was the reason why I stuck on.
I think her biggest competition in that category is,
Mary Lady J. Bird. Blige and Mudbound?
Haven't seen it, but
I haven't even... You know, I didn't even hear of Mudbound until this...
Pretty much,
nominees.
Yeah, until the nomination started coming out.
I didn't even know.
Until the Golden Globes, I think. I had no clue it existed.
You were going to say Laurie Metcalf, weren't you?
Yes, Laurie Metcalf.
From
exactly.
That awful, awful, despicable movie that we shall not name, which will probably win.
Oh, I already named it.
I think Greta Gerwig will win for Lady Bird, though.
Best director?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too. It's deserving. Yeah. It's...
I'll agree. She's deserving. Screenwriter, director.
How often has a woman won Best Director at the Oscars?
Not a lot.
Super rare, right? Yeah, has it ever happened? Okay. Did Catherine Bigelow win for The Hurt Locker?
She might have.
Oh, I don't remember if it was Best Picture, Best Director, but either way, it's a very... If we could, you know, name them on one hand, as many fingers as there are on one hand, and if they come up with something, that means not a lot of people have won.
Then we get to animated feature where we now have to call The Boss Baby...
Ooh, yeah.
And Oscar nominee, The Boss Baby.
I hope it's a Suicide Squad situation. I'm sorry. I hope it's like an Academy Award winning Suicide Squad situation.
Oh, no.
Academy Award winning Boss Baby.
I'm partly upset that it was a nominated for makeup, even though I know that CGI was a bit of a train wreck. But I just wanted to see one It nom because I'm a huge Stephen King fan and I really liked it.
Yeah, it definitely deserved at least a nod. It was completely shut out, wasn't it?
But Baby Driver, all those editing categories and nothing more.
You'll notice that the category or the nominees for Best Sound Editing and Best Sound Mixing are exactly the same. Further blurring the lines
like
between
you said, they don't even know the difference themselves.
Yeah.
I think that Shape of Water should win production design things.
I don't think I had any big, important, urgent thoughts on much besides Best Actress. That's going to be the hottest category this year. I mean, you know, you got Best Director, Best Picture. There is some fierce competition in the Best Actress category.
Oh, yeah, there is. But it'll go to Meryl because she's in that. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I hope not.
I don't think it'll go to Meryl. How do you say Saoirse Ronan?
Saoirse Ronan.
Oh, well, I can't say that.
Can we go through the list of, I think it's 5?
Sally Hawkins, The Shape of Water.
Very good.
Frances McDormand, 3 Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
I've heard great things.
Margot Robbie, I, Tonya.
Of course.
That girl.
Who? Oh, Saoirse Ronan.
In Lady Bird and Meryl Streep in The Post.
Like, very...
It's always
a
competitive...
Category.
That's always what everyone watches for.
I think more so than previous years. Best Actor has, like, nothing going for it.
Yeah, they gave Denzel that pity nod from last year, though. And he's not going to win again.
No.
He should have won last year. Who won last year, Best Actor? I don't even remember. I don't know.
A lot of people are saying that James Franco kind of deserved to be there.
With all this, all the scandal and whatever. They should have nominated Tommy Wiseau. We could have all got behind Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, yeah, the internet would have rallied
after
for that.
James Franco interrupted that poor man at the Golden Globes when he was just like, I was just going to thank everyone. We were all like,
I totally understand not giving him the mic first, but I thought he was going to, you know, give him a few words later.
I totally think so.
Oh, well. We should have known from that point. There were a lot of clues about that old James.
I do think that Jordan Peele might win. No, never mind. Greta Gerwig's going to win for Lady Bird.
Oh, for screenplay?
No, for director.
Ooh.
I would love Guillermo to win.
I don't know. I think that's also
a I love how category. We're overlooking Phantom Thread, which I haven't seen, but I've been told by innate sources that it's a boring movie, but I often like boring movies. Yeah, they're my cup so of tea.
I heard it was a slow burn, which I'm totally into.
I love slow burns. I think they're think pieces, you know?
I think we're so used to Paul Thomas Anderson being just a super revered and acclaimed auteur that it's becoming a little bit easier to overlook his newer movies, like anything that he comes out with. Like There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, which I love.
Regularly number one on movies of the decade, movies of the century so far.
So good.
Well, there's still a lot of respect for The Master, too. Mm. That's also on a lot of those lists. I haven't seen it either.
Wow.
Inherent Vice, I loved, but that was super polarizing.
Haven't seen that either.
Really into it. I really liked it. It captured the 70s drug-fueled, psychedelic California vibe down pat, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I would know because I was there.
You were there? You were doing uppers, downers, and candy corns with all them?
Oh, baby. I was a supplier, and I would get high on my own supply.
Oh, we can't say that in the podcast.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, no drugs. We can say anything. We got high on life. Exactly. High on life. Nothing else.
Yeah, and well, I guess Phantom Thread is his newest one since then. I don't know. There's not a lot of buzz around it.
The biggest upset, other than who's probably going to win, is that I, Tonya wasn't in the best film best category. Picture. It was great. It was funny. It was truthful. Yeah. It's great acting.
I do have to check it out. Yeah. I really do think the Academy has something against comedies.
I think they do, too. Comedy is the lowest form of entertainment, Matt.
Mm.
That's what they say.
When will they learn?
I think we need a little comedy in this day and age now.
Too bad we're not supplying any.
Yeah. Anyways, hey, thank guys. You for listening for our Oscar banter of the season. We got that out of the way. Tonight, I don't know what we're watching. Matt picked the movie, and I kind of left it to his discretion to decide when he's going to disclose what we're watching.
Yeah,
could be something I haven't seen. Could be something I have seen. Do you want to tease it out a bit?
Couple of hints, I suppose. This is a film that I have not seen.
All right, well, that could be anything.
It's true. It could be literally anything. What's a movie?
Yeah, I know. Have you ever heard of the jazz singer?
Wait, they got pictures that move?
Yeah, now they do.
Oh, Lord.
And they don't charge no extra neither with that movie pass that's now being discontinued. Oh, there, yeah. I said it.
Another big news.
They're on to you. Another quick big use news. It.
I knew it. As long as I got my $90 worth, I'll be fine.
I mean, I should have got on that train, but...
$90? That's like two movies.
You know,
like
I'm lucky if moths fly out of my pocket at this point when I open my wallet.
Right,
so it's a movie you haven't seen.
Okay, here's
have you guessed
one.
It yet, audience?
I've got three hints. All right, that's three the first hints. One.
I'm not gonna guess because I'm delusional at this point.
Oh no, I think you might be able to get it. And the second hint is that it's from the 80s.
Ooh, my favorite decade.
The late 80s.
Could I find some? Is there 80s music in this movie? Can I ask a question?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I haven't seen it.
Oh my god!
I would venture to guess that there is.
Is it? Well, here's a bonus question for me. Is it possible that I could have seen this already?
I think it's very possible that you have seen this.
Oh my god, if it's something that I might have suggested in one of my next choices.
Oh, I hope not.
So it's something that you think I wouldn't have suggested on this podcast.
I don't think it would have crossed all right, your mind.
Then I think I'm easier to read than a coloring book, so
I mean, maybe we'll see. And okay,
I can't
third
guess.
Maybe not third and final hint. Third hint will be there's an upcoming TV adaptation of it.
Oh, I know what it is. And I've totally seen this movie. And it was one of the choices that I'm going to suggest, Matt.
Are you serious?
Is it Heathers?
I'm not saying it's not.
It's Heathers, right? This is one of my favorite movies.
Really?
How dare you assume that I haven't seen this?
I said
how
you,
dare you
I
choose
you
it when I was going
to
show you? But I was going
to upcoming.
I was going to bring this up in the summer,
there
you know, when
go.
The kids get off from school. My girl Winona, first crush ever, man.
This is why we work. This is why it works. No, I assumed you had seen it.
Of course I've seen Heathers.
But I haven't.
And that new TV show is very polarizing.
I've heard nothing but bad things.
I've heard some good things. But you know I watch trash TV. Like, I watched American Horror Story. I've kept up with that. What other trash? Yeah. I liked Scream Queens. I was like one of three people in existence that liked Scream Queens.
I liked
like
it for a few
unironically.
Episodes.
But I also watch good television, too.
You eventually got exhausted from that.
Heathers, Matt. You doom me dirty like this by trumping me with one of my own damn choices.
How does it feel?
Oh, I could have researched this and looked like a real genius on the show.
Damn it, I'm
sorry. Now I'm going to look stupid.
Well, we could cut this. We could do whatever we want. It's not live.
Well, I mean...
Unlike that HQ.
Heathers, so fuck me gently with the chainsaw. We're watching the 80s classic Corn Nuts? Regular or BBQ? BBQ! Heathers tonight.
I don't even know what that was. I am going in completely blind. I heard that this is a dark comedy. I've heard it's a pitch black dark comedy.
Have you ever heard of John Waters?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a very
He's
John
a
Waters.
Freaky mother. Wow, John Waters, yeah. He did Hairspray.
He did Hairspray, and then he did a lot of shit beforehand I was going to bring up on the podcast. We might watch one or two John Waters movies.
Oh, I don't know if I want to. I think it's one of his more famous ones when the final scene is a lobster raping a woman.
Not a woman, raping Divine, one of the legendary drag queens, tying into RuPaul's Drag Race.
Ah. Yes. See, I saw that clip completely out of context.
That means afterwards I can ask you if you're a Heather McNamara, Heather Chandler, or the other one that no one cares about.
Oh, is that what this film is about? It's multiple girls called Heather?
Oh, you'll find out about that.
Wow. Okay. I know there's a death in the film.
There might be a death in this movie. There might be. I won't spoil anything.
Yeah.
Any last comments on what you want to say before you see this movie, Heather?
Let's see.
That comment was cornier than Air Supply.
That's a band, right?
That is a band. Wish us luck, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go!
Oh, I'm ready to have my mind rocked.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back at Nightcaps at the Theater after watching the seminal classic that is Heather's Gag Me with a Spoon.
No, wrong thing.
Wrong thing?
You're thinking of Frank Zappa.
Oh, true.
It's okay.
Well, they had other quirky dialogue in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Fuck me gently.
Fuck me gently with a chainsaw. One of my favorites. So very. So very, very.
That confused me. As a viewer, yeah, in you were 2018. Just
questioning. I kind of figured it would.
But I guess I got used to it after a little while. Very what? Very what? But it was good.
It was good? You liked it? What are we drinking, Matthew?
We are drinking, well, since it's a high school film, I knew that much going into it. I knew it was a dark comedy, and I knew that it was a high school film.
Yeah, and you picked a very good drink.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Well, very good. Suitable, you mean? Not necessarily.
I mean very, very.
Exactly. We are drinking Smirnoff Ice.
Yeah.
Taking
me back to high school.
Exactly.
Those kegger parties we went to. Don't tell mom and dad.
All of those things we did. Those kegel stands.
Kegel stands. Mm-hmm. And we're drinking two variations. I've got Hawaiian Punch, which tastes like Hawaiian Punch.
No, Hurricane Punch.
Oh, sorry, Hurricane Punch.
Yeah, and I'm drinking the Smirnoff Ice because it's a dark comedy. I'm going with the Smirnoff Ice Triple Black, which has a crisp lime taste. Ooh. For all of you people who are looking for Sprite with a little something extra, some dirty Sprite here.
I never really drank these in high school. It was too cool for that.
No, me neither.
I was asking, where the whiskey at?
Definitely. I went the other way. I never drank these because I was too busy drinking Hawaiian Punch.
Oh, true. You were one of the cool kids in the corner.
Yeah.
We took a look at Heathers, which is the inspiration. Without Heathers, according to the Blu-ray box, we would not have the likes of Mean Girls, Juno, and Jawbreaker. I don't think that Juno really fits
Juno
into that category, though.
Juno is pretty much a shot-for-shot remake of Heathers, clearly.
If you squint and you're drunk enough, it kind of is.
I don't know why they would put that. I think your theory is right that they just ran out
of teen
films.
Yeah. That were inspired by Heathers.
No, but you could definitely see a lot of the DNA in subsequent films that were definitely inspired and took some influence from this film.
Yeah.
I don't think any of them really went as far as Heathers did.
I'm glad you think that.
Oh, yeah.
If you're as used to Heathers as me, it kind of feels more like a Looney Tunes cartoon than it does actually.
It's a little bit like that. I could see
that. Yeah. Like, it's very dry, kind of in-your-face Dark realism is a term that came up in a lot of internet essays that I've heard about this movie.
I think
it sticks. It feels like a dark kind of fairy tale rewarping of the modern high school experience.
It's definitely, there's a sense of like a heightened reality to it. It's pretty surreal, or at least more surreal than I anticipated going into it. I thought it was going to pretty much play completely straight, and it would involve like the death of someone.
Yeah, it did. Many a death.
I thought it was just one person.
Oh, you thought wrong, baby.
Oh, yeah.
There was many a death.
Maybe one death in like the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. No, so I thought it was just that, and I thought it was kind of their reactions to it. I was probably looking at it, approaching it. This is another film I haven't seen. One thing I'm really good at, by the way, is just coming up with references to things that I know nothing about.
Oh.
But I think I was going into this kind of expecting more of a Stephen King Stand By Me.
Oh, no, sweetie.
Which I have. I mean, I haven't seen.
Haven't seen Stand By Me?
Oh, boy, we got our next.
Now I gotta whip that one out.
Yeah.
That's probably the best Stephen King adaptation that we've ever had.
Is that another hint of something we'll be watching soon?
I mean, now that I know you haven't seen...
Oh, I meant adaptation.
Well, that too. Yeah. Well, now that I know you haven't seen Stand By Me, I have to get that.
Yeah, that's what I assumed this would be a little bit more like. A dead body.
Yeah.
They just kind of have to, deal with that?
Well, they have a normal human reaction to it. And this is kind of, like I said, a Looney Tunes cartoon where it's Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck finding a dead body instead.
Yeah. So it is pretty... Oh, that's a good analogy. It is pretty much... Yeah, it's not what I expected. It was a surprise.
Yeah, and our Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck are none of them Winona Ryder and Christian Slater, who you may know from seminal classic movies like Beetlejuice. Lately, Winona's been in Stranger Things. If you've had a pulse and are watching the Netflix, she's always been my number one girl, Winona.
What's a Netflix? I'm not familiar with that.
We're not sponsored by them, so we're not obligated to know who they are.
No, but Winona, I could totally see how she got the Netflix gig on Stranger Things.
From Heathers?
From this performance.
Well, she's been in a lot of other things. She was in Dracula.
Honestly, I don't think I'm very familiar with her oeuvre.
Well,
that's another word. I think I used it
on the
last
podcast. She was in The Crucible,
podcast.
Which we saw in high school. Remember?
Ooh, I do not remember that.
High
school was a blur thanks to these Smirnoff ices.
Yeah, but she never, she's not an... this is going to sound slanderous because I love Winona with every fiber of my being, but acting doesn't come naturally to her. I felt like we were watching a high school play when viewing Heathers, and I think that might be kind of in the theme of things. Like, it was shot that way. It's
I can see that.
Wooden acting with deadpan delivery, but it works.
It doesn't seem much like her acting. Like, I don't know if she was directed much. It kind of seems like they just threw her into the situation, or really that she just stumbled onto a set at one point while the cameras were recording, and she just reacted to what was happening around her. But it works so well.
But that's all the characters, too.
Yeah.
They all act like they've just stumbled upon this Heathers movie set and are in a school play. And it works. It fits the high school mood of the piece.
Especially the heightened reality aspect of it. I think so, definitely.
But I feel that a lot of people could be turned off by this acting style, too. Definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like the humor will definitely go over some people's heads, and
like
they just wouldn't get it.
Like you were saying before, it is really dry. I don't think I had any big laughs.
No, there's small chuckles throughout.
Yeah.
It's more... I think it's a slow burner piece that you look back on, especially since Heathers has been kind of reintroduced to the popular zeitgeist by the musical, and the musical is very snappy.
I'm not familiar with the musical at all.
I'll have to share the music with you, but it's a readaptation. It's very close to the source material, but it cuts the fat off, and it kind of goes a little faster, and I think it works better as a more modern piece than it
really?
Does now.
Really? The musical?
I actually think the musical is slightly better than the movie.
You said it cuts the fat out. Is it like most musicals still like 3 hours long or something like that?
Well, I think it's a little shorter. I think it's 2.5, maybe 2.
That's impressive that they were still able to make it seem so lean. Then.
Yeah, they cut a few characters, even though there's only 7 main characters in this movie, and merged them into one.
Speaking of characters, am I wrong or did Martha
Dumbtruck? Dunstock?
Dumbtruck, yeah.
Yeah. Dunstock is her official name.
Did she not have a line until the very end?
She did not have a line to the very end, but she and Betty are combined in the musical.
Okay.
So Veronica's other friend and Martha are the same character in the musical. That's part of why.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah.
I feel like there is a little bit of that, honestly, in Lady Bird. Yeah. And I mean, in a lot of
the unspeakable film.
Oh, sorry.
We can't. This is a Lady Bird free household. We don't speak that name.
Yeah, with the childhood friend that the titular Lady Bird.
Yeah.
They kind of refoster or rekindle their friendship later on. Mm. So you could definitely see the influence. I mean, you know, maybe it's not that relationship, that character arc wasn't introduced by Heathers. Maybe it was. I don't know.
Maybe.
In 1988, but I think it's kind of a trope that's been well established in definitely in later teenage years films, coming of age films.
Yeah. Speaking of the Heathers, it's pop quiz time. Can you name all three Heathers and their colors?
Well, we have the main.
Yes.
Main Heather. First mm-hmm. Heather. Heather Chandler.
Heather Chandler is the main Heather.
She's red.
She's head cheerleader, main bitch in charge of the school.
Mm-hmm. For all of 10 minutes.
For all of 10 minutes. But her presence is everlasting throughout the film. We constantly feel Heather Chandler's presence.
Yeah, that's another.
Yeah.
This is getting into when we mentioned the second Heather. Not that there's an order to the Heathers.
There is a hierarchy to the Heathers.
I guess so, okay.
Mm-hmm. Heather hierarchy.
Heather Duke.
Heather Duke.
I'd say is the second one.
Yes.
She wears green.
She wears green for the majority of the film. It's harder to tell in the movies because she has a slight change of wardrobe. They're more subdued. They're more subdued, even though they're wearing these extravagant, like, kind of in-your-face outfits. But she's definitely more subdued in the movie. But her color is green, the color of envy, because she's envious of Heather Chandler's.
Wow, I hadn't even picked up on that. Very
really,
nice.
Really green-eyed monster.
Listen, I've mentioned it before. I'm a below-average intelligence viewer.
I'm here to hold your hand and guide you through the forest of the symbolism.
That's
color.
Another thing I was wondering about while watching the film was the symbolism of Moby Dick.
Oh, true.
Is there like a thematic thing
nope.
there? Is there?
They're just dicks.
Yeah. Oh, well, huh. Even I hadn't thought of it read into it that deeply, but that's not bad.
I don't know. I haven't read Moby Dick. That's my next thing. It's getting a musical adaptation in 5 acts that I'm really excited for.
Oh god. How long is that gonna be?
It's gonna be a 5-hour musical and I'm ready for it, baby. Boy. Dave Malloy, Great Comet, R.I.P.
Oh, he's doing it?
Yeah, buddy.
This is gonna be interesting. Okay.
And the last Heather, do you remember her name?
No. I was gonna say no.
It's Heather McNamara, the yellow Heather. The yellow belly Heather.
Okay. One thing, well, we kind of mentioned, the unintentional passing of the baton between Heathers. What I'm going to say is it kind of cemented the slightly surrealist aspect of the film because when Heather Duke was believed to have died at the hands of JD, while Winona Ryder's character Veronica, while she was having her nightmare, she kind of saw herself in JD's knife. She saw her reflection.
Yeah.
And was wondering, like, oh, now the Heather Duke is dead. There always has to be one.
Must be one. It's a Highlander Heather.
Exactly.
Extravaganza.
Like, could it be me? Like, could I be next?
Yeah.
And
she's taking that power.
I got really Twin Peaks vibes from that.
Yeah.
In the form of Killer Bob reincarnating in different forms. There always has to be this evil presence looming. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't know if anyone else would think that or if it's even worthy of mention. No, I think it does kind of speak to the, maybe not even the surrealist nature of the film, but the stress and the fever dream that is high school in general.
So we meet Martha Dunstock in the movie early on. She's the fat girl. The action starts, and we don't get a lot of Veronica's backstory. So do you think, did you get any kind of insinuation why Veronica teamed up with these Heathers in the first place?
Not at the beginning. But it became a little bit clearer, a little bit more apparent later on.
What do you think? What's kind of her story with joining the Heathers?
Honestly, I don't know. There really was no real backstory to her. I mean, we see her parents, and they're pretty straight-laced or
talking
uptight.
In circles, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the pate. Yes, this is pate. Oh, you too. Why do I smoke these cigarettes? Why do I read these spy novels? Because you're an idiot. Oh.
I did. I don't know why. Whenever her dad would speak, I actually really liked any line that he had.
Yeah.
It was really well
done. It's very stay-at-home dad, kind of like 50s mentality.
In terms of why she would gravitate to the Heathers, I'm not entirely sure because they kind of seem to not really perpetuate that lifestyle. At least they would perpetuate it on a surface level, on a superficial. They kind of embody that really strict, rule-driven, I'm going to say superficial again because they're pretty superficial. Mm-hmm. Just pretty much it's all about appearances.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of speaks a lot to Veronica's home life as well.
Yeah.
But I don't really know why she would
gravitate towards them.
Yeah, I don't know why she would reintroduce herself to that when she already has gets enough of it at home. I feel like she would kind of want to rebel against it more.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring up the musical, especially since it's only 2 years old, and it kind of reinvents this topic, especially in lieu of the new TV show we're supposedly getting about this film, which is very diversive. We won't be going into that, but I will definitely give that a watch since I love this movie so much. Veronica's backstory in the musical is essentially she sees these popular girls, wants to join them. Her penmanship skills are in a full effect. Mm-hmm. She forges some doctor's prescriptions for them, gets them some drugs, and Heather Chandler, the main Heather, Medea's in the room, the main Heather comes in and says, oh, you can forge prescriptions? You know what? I'll do your makeup for you, and you can be popular. And Veronica gets addicted to the fame, as we often do, as often is the undoing of so many young, eager hearts in our industries.
I think I actually think I kind of prefer the film's
lack of backstory
gives her character enough motivation when we find out later that she really is just not teaming up with the Heathers. She's really just joining them on a surface level. She kind of wants to take them down from within.
Yeah, which and is I think that speaks cool.
to her upbringing.
Spy novels, you know, there's a there's a lot of hidden clues going on with this. One thing I want to bring up is the score. It's a lot of oohs, ahs, synths, and Western vagaries. Like you get these showdown themes that are very commonplace, and it's weird because Veronica is almost like the sheriff of her own life, and then eventually becomes the sheriff of Westerberg. And we get this a lot with the showdown between her and JD later, her and the Heathers saying there's a new sheriff in town. I just like that it's a callback to Westerns, which is another genre that I really love.
Interesting. I hadn't even picked up on that at all.
I know.
In terms of the score, I just figured
there's a lot of doo doo doo. Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of like the old Western themes.
Damn. I just kind of thought it was soundtrack, just way too 80s.
Musical. We meet JD, played by Christian Slater. What did you think of JD?
Christian Slater.
Was he good? Was he bad? Was he a little bit of both?
What did I think of him at the beginning or just kind of at the end?
I don't know. Let's hear your whole thought on JD.
I
mean,
I think it's the same thing. I just didn't like him. At the beginning, I thought he was a creep. At the end, I thought he was, you know, a psycho creep.
I kind of like him.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe I'm into the bad boys.
I could be. I think I don't like Christian Slater, and I don't like the way he played him.
You know, I don't know Christian Slater from anything really other than this. I've heard that name, and I heard people go, oh, Christian Slater's in that, but
yeah,
man, I only know him from Heathers.
Honestly, I don't know him from that much. I think I've only seen him in an episode of Mr. Robot or two.
Yeah.
Where he pretty much plays
the same character
mm-hmm. as in Heathers. Oh, and I hated Mr. Robot, by the way. Everybody was raving about the pilot episodes, like saying it was the best.
I haven't seen it.
So I watched about two episodes. I gave it a fair shake. Yeah, and I just couldn't get into it. Like in the pilot, which everybody was raving about, Christian Slater's character is like responsible for coming up with this virus that he wants to spread to every computer in the world or something called F Society, and it just seems like
the same character.
The same so kind of juvenile. It seems like juvenile,
something JD would do. Yeah,
the juvenile, immature, lashing out page.
Maybe it's a tribute to this.
Yeah, or a sequel or a continuation.
Yeah, another continuation in the fan theory section. I love the dark realism of this movie. Like, when JD uses the gun and all he gets is, he doesn't even get suspended. They go, oh, he might get a suspension, but he totally doesn't. He shoots two blanks at the bullies and he gets off scot-free. And this movie is like that. We get introduced to Veronica. Her head is in the ground and they're playing croquet.
Yeah, I really appreciated that.
So
like,
it's a quirky, like I said, John Waters kind of vague, you know, fantasy based thing that's also based in reality, which is the main thing I take away from this movie, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, that intro scene where they were playing, croquet?
Croquet is the main sport of this movie.
I wasn't sure if it was like croquet or polo or something. but yeah, like I called the framing, I took it down in my notes, the framing of the intro scene where we actually introduced to Veronica, I called it wonderfully absurd.
Yeah.
And pretty indicative of what kind of makes this film a little bit more special than, you know, playing it straight-laced would have been.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe I don't want to go so deep into like character and motivations and cause and effect and things like that, but I actually feel like the lack of repercussions in JD's life is a little bit responsible for turning him into what he becomes.
Definitely. He is his own father figure. You can tell he hates his father because There's a story about how he loses his mother, kind yeah. of resorting from his father's business, and mm-hmm. there's no love there.
No, definitely not.
No. I do like JD. I think he's a dark character, but almost so exaggeratedly dark that it makes him good in a way. I think he's good warped to the point where it's...
That's fair.
You know, beyond getting back again.
I'm not super into characters that become that way. That's a thing I'm noticing. I noticed it with The Shape of Water as well, where the villain starts off subtly, maybe not subtly, but it's not like
in his mindset,
super explicitly evil.
Yeah.
But then by the end of it, it just kind of becomes full-fledged. And I kind of noticed the same trend here that I wasn't really into, because it turns the third act of the film into, I'm not going to say like, it turns it into more of an action movie than I think I anticipated. Like, mm-hmm. there is a long chase scene. It is all about meeting this objective of, what's the word, de-arming?
Yeah.
Or disarming.
Yeah.
Yeah, de-arming. Take the arms
off. Yeah, remove the arms from the people.
Of these bombs. It felt a little, like, a little much.
A little much?
I don't know, but that was just me. And so I felt that part kind of dragged out a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a little bit, I'm not going to say it betrayed the initial quality of the film that you think you were getting, but because it always was pretty violent, not
What's
entirely
your damage,
sure. I just wasn't really feeling it.
Oh, no. Well,
it seemed like a weird way to raise the stake, but it is a weird movie in general.
I know you're mentioning the focus kind of on parents in this movie. What do you think of that? Because I felt that parents are kind of a suggestion in this movie. They're there, but they never really do anything. And that can make sense in the life of a high schooler. I remember when I was back in high school only a few millennia ago, and how we're kids and we think we know everything. And that point is kind of stricken across right here. There's no parent involvement. The teachers are all whack and genuinely kind of true to life.
That is,
I know
very
a few
true.
Teachers that talk about their students this way, and I'm not talking about myself either. It's funny but true.
That's a good point. That's not something that I thought of, but it's a little bit like Peanuts.
Yeah,
the Peanuts cartoons where I don't think the adults have any effect on
the
any,
action,
like yeah, on the plot of this film at all.
No,
like nothing they do inspires any action or recourse or anything,
or really matters
outside of like affecting the characters themselves and a little bit kind of driving them to do the things they do.
Yeah, so we see Heather Chandler and Veronica. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm going to pause constantly thinking of their last names. Heather Chandler and Veronica, they go to a college party, and some hijinks ensue. Kind of the crux of this movie begins at that party. Heather Chandler goes down on the guy, Veronica refuses to, and then barfs on the shoes, resulting in the famous line, "Lick it up, baby, lick it up."
I love the transition there, or I guess the pan of the camera upwards
with the TV
when
screen.
Heather Chandler begins giving the blowjob, or sorry, the oral sex to
nice save, Matt.
To one of the guys, and the camera pans upward to that old advertisement,
the
old framed advertisement. Yeah, the guy being blown away,
blown away. Get it, kids?
by the power of these. Magnificent speakers.
Was a good transition.
Like, that was very inspired. One of my favorite sight gags. In a film that had, like, quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
I think my next favorite would probably be when Winona Ryder's character, Veronica, is in the car with JD, and she's kind of punishing herself by
burning herself
with a cigarette lighter, the cigarette adapter of the car. And JD is just completely unfazed, and he uses that opportunity
to light his cigarette
very off of
funny.
Her burn scar. Yeah.
JD is a manipulative bastard, right? He's constantly pulling strings, and Veronica wants to see the best in him, because she obviously kills Heather Chandler in the next scene with the classic Drano. Wow. Put some Drano in a cup and...
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a situation that got out of hand. It's not what she expected. I don't know if she wanted to kill her, you know, per se.
I think on a subconscious level she wanted to kill her, but not go that far.
It's very possible.
she recovers real quickly in this movie, and we kind of keep on rolling, which adds to the humor, and it might say a few things about Veronica's character, but what a death. Yeah. How would you like to go? Honestly, it was just take some Drano and plunge yourself into a glass table and have it dramatically shatter.
I think that's a very good way to surrounded by magazines.
With the last words, corn nuts.
And could we just nominate this film over and over every year for best sound editing and best sound mixing?
Baby Driver has nothing on this.
Yeah, because that scene where Heather Chandler is meeting her demise, and there's just like a bubbling throughout in the score, in the mix, just like this really visceral bubbling. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, now I know why
and
this award
exists. And her tongue
is
dyed blue! Yeah. That's a nice attention to detail.
The whole mouth. It's great.
Mm-hmm. We get some Moby Dick references. I haven't read Moby Dick, so I can't be sure exactly of the symbolism there.
Yeah,
I'm
no
pretty
clue.
Sure, I know there's Pequod and guys on a ship, Ishmael. White Whale, Ishmael, call me Ishmael.
Yeah, he's got an obsession with the White Whale.
Most of the characters die. There's a coffin on board, that's all I know about.
Okay, most of the characters
Dick.
Dying, coffin on board.
Oh, and there's a scene involving getting the spermatozoa from a whale and selling that.
Yeah, I don't think that has any relevance to this film, but
no,
I'm glad you mentioned it.
But it's there. Moby Dick is a main reference in this movie.
Yeah. Maybe it's just like maybe the screenplay author or the director just had trouble with Moby Dick in high school.
Yeah.
Like it formed a traumatic experience, and I wouldn't blame him or her.
Mm-hmm. So we get to the main topic of this movie, suicide. What are your thoughts of suicide and its portrayal in this movie? I do not think this movie would fly in today's audience.
Well, my thoughts are...
Definitely
parentheses,
not.
Don't do it.
Parentheses. Suicide, just don't do it.
And, yeah, I don't know if it would... that's
well,
a good question
that,
if it
we're
would
getting
fly
that
in
reboot.
This year.
I think it has to be handled in a way that the kids get it and the adults get it together. Because if one group gets it and the other group gets it, doesn't get it.
I don't know if this would work.
Mess.
I don't think it would work as a PG-13 movie, but as a rated R movie, I think it would be fine because it's definitely...
It's glamorized.
It's kind of like verging on mockumentary territory.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to take any of what these characters are saying or doing true to form. One thing I liked about all the suicides was it... Well, okay. That's a weird way to introduce that. Not something I liked about all the suicides, but about the way in which it was presented was the film really did satirize and criticize. I think it criticized the, what's the word? Gloridization, if that's a word?
Glorification.
Dear Lord, I need to back off the Smirnoff
ice. You've had a few too many Zimas, haven't you?
The glorification, of suicide, because... Yeah. A lot of the characters in this film use the other characters' deaths, the other characters' suicides, as opportunities to kind of reflect on their own lives. Mm-hmm. They use it to
look
kind
at
of
Miss
as
Fleming.
Their own projection.
Look at Miss Fleming. What? Think of the children. Will someone think of the children? Sing Kumbaya, get me on TV. That's Miss Fleming's
it's ridiculous.
Kind of mantra in this suicide epidemic. And they're always trying to one-up another. Oh, someone committed suicide. Maybe I should commit suicide.
Yeah,
in
definitely.
More spectacular fashion than that person
I think
gained
the film,
popularity.
I think the film actually handled it pretty well. I think the amount of suicides definitely played into the just kind of excessive satirizing of it. Definitely poking fun at people who do kind of use another person's death to look at their own life and self-examine it and kind of like self-aggrandize, really. But at the same time, it did treat the same topic in a pretty sensitive and sincere manner with Martha Dumptruck.
Yeah, Martha
or Dunstock.
Yeah, yeah. When she commits her suicide, it's the real deal. Well, we're supposed to feel bad. We have a whole... Woo!
Yeah, her
there's a real suicide in the mix, and it kind of sends you for a loop.
So that was very well done. I do commend the film on that a lot.
After Heather McNamara invites Veronica with a double date with her and Kurt and Ram, we get a very kind of, I don't know, this quote stood out for me, "Our love is God," from J.D.
I thought he said that.
Yeah, he goes, "Our love is God," which is a song in the musical, too. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that quote. Our love is God.
I wasn't even sure if I had heard it correctly.
Yeah,
because this film didn't have subtitles.
Yeah, there was no subtitle option on this Blu-ray disc.
Yeah, very
this
strange.
Film is strictly for those who can hear and see.
Yeah, I was out of luck.
And read, unlike Emma Stone, who cannot.
Callback.
Remember that? Remember when?
For our avid listeners.
Yeah.
No, our love is gone.
Our love is gone.
I've kind of forgotten the context of it now, which is...
There was no context. He kind of comes out and says, our love is gone, and we don't get any explanation for it.
Maybe it's because he does say a lot. He, like, talks a lot of shit. He kind of seems like he's talking out of his ass a lot of the time just to justify his actions.
Mm.
Or maybe that's the way I'm seeing it.
I think it's a god complex between these two. They think they're masters in this game, and
that's true.
Definitely JD thinks other people are pawns because he uses them in everything to get what he wants.
That's very true.
Yeah, but our love is God. I think he's definitely trying to win Veronica over to the dark side, and she really falls for it sometimes. On the other hand, she is her own person in the end, and we can respect her for that.
Oh, that's another, just JD being a creep in general. I don't really know if it... I'm not trying to make it into a sexist or a gendered debate, but, like, his whole male... I feel like I've seen it a lot in society, like, the male manipulation or kind of, like, the gaslighting when he's telling her, oh, no, you want this. Like, I know you want this on a subconscious level, or I know you want this. You just have to, like, actually realize this yourself. I just hate when characters do that. So that really fueled...
It was a different time, though.
Oh, I know. It's it's very possible, but I still think that kind of toxicity was rampant. It was just not called out as much as it might be these days. But, I mean, it was a good element for the character, definitely, because it made sense. It was a good... it made sense, and it made me... Well, it made me dislike the character more, which I kind of think was the goal, obviously. Mm-hmm. Another thing about him was his endless staring and his endless ability to somehow be exactly where Veronica was when she needed him at all times.
I think since it's a movie, we kind of forgo that fact. It's definitely a fantasy.
It was just annoying whenever I saw him. Ugh, Christian Slater.
Oh, but she loves him, though, Matt.
Oh, I've got beef.
you got beef.
Beef stew.
Ick Lug bullets. Do you speak German, Matt?
No, I wasn't.
Ick Lug translates to "I'm lying." Bullets.
Really?
Yeah. So if Veronica would have just taken damn German instead of French, she would have known that. Like me, kids, take German.
You think it's a real thing? Ick Lug bullets?
No,
at all?
No, okay. They're not a real thing.
Well, I was just wondering. Maybe
he's playing Veronica like a country fiddle.
Maybe that was like an actual name for something back and whenever some far gone war.
We get these cops doing weed in the car, which is more kind of adults acting like kids, which I'm really for. It's very in flux. No one's in control in this universe.
Even the cops did nothing of importance. Oh, that is another thing that's seen in which we do meet the cops. That's another thing I kind of might have seen an allusion to or seen a reference to in a film that came out later, which was when the two jocks...
Kurt and Ram.
Or actually, I suppose when the first one has died and the second one is running around in his underwear and like tube socks, gym socks.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I feel like that was a sight gag in itself. Like that was just really funny to see. And the camera was pretty clearly focused on it. Just these gym socks running around in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
I really got Wet Hot American Summer vibes.
Definitely.
Like I think Wet Hot American Summer was... clearly inspired by this scene and just being like, gym socks are a surprisingly potent source of comedy. Mm-hmm. And so we see that in the scene where we have two of the, in Wet Hot American Summer, two of the male leads realize their love for each other. I think it's...
Then that's definitely a reference. I haven't seen it, but it
they realize their love for each other and have, like, I think they have sex for the first time in gym socks.
Mm-hmm. But did they kill each other in a repressed gay suicide pact, though?
No.
Well, then... Maybe it's not a direct reference.
Maybe in the sequel. I think there's another one coming out.
In part two. Veronica has these moments where she goes back and forth, but always goes back to JD. Always over something. It could be the love. It could be the sex, which they have. And it's not... I give kudos to this movie because it's not shamed in any way. And the 80s might have been a slightly freer time.
Mm-hmm.
But... it's not shameful in any way, shape, or form. It's her choice, and she does it, and we never hear any... Other than, like, the gossip going around school that Kurt and Ram were sword fighting in her mouth.
Yeah.
But it's not looked at... It's more looked like an inconvenience than a... a kind of a no-no sin. Yeah, even the church blames MTV and video games for most of the sins that these high schoolers face.
Did they say MTV and video? I feel like
they say music videos and video games or something.
I feel like he says MTV video games.
MTV. Oh yeah. Hold on, I have the quotes.
Like, so that line was pretty funny.
Yes.
And when he calls Jesus a righteous dude.
Jesus, yeah, he's in the book.
The righteous dude, Jesus Christ.
MTV video games, you are right. Like,
that's great. Mm-hmm. That's a clever, just really deconstruction of that.
And then we get this love-in, which is a stunt that I could see pulled in today's media with no problem whatsoever. Miss Fleming comes in. She's like, hold hands, the TV crew is here. Act like you love each other. And we get this lovey-dovey situation where all the cliques come together, hold hands, and Veronica and JD are watching. Like, what is this shit?
But then it devolves into chaos, right? Yeah. Does it actually devolve into chaos?
I think it does. Okay, it's not so genuine. Too. It's not genuine at all.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Yeah.
JD's mom's backstory, we get her. How do you feel about that? Is that a legitimate backstory for JD? Does that convince you that's why he acts this way? I mean, has that weird relationship with his dad where he calls him son. And
yeah, I don't know if it fully explains it, but I mean, you're not going to get a whole character study in a hour and 40 minute comedy movie.
Mr. JD's dad, played by Robert Preston, by the way, of Music Man fame. You may know him if you're a theater alumni like me.
No, I believe I've heard the name, but I could be making that up too.
No, he's been in some things.
Somebody who, actually, Veronica's dad looked really familiar.
Yeah.
Not sure what he was in.
The pastor is from Beetlejuice. I forget his name, though. He's in a lot of things, though.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
But other than that, there's not really a lot of recognizable faces.
Yeah.
We get Shannon Doherty from Charmed.
Oh, really?
As Heather Chandler, and that's about it.
Charmed came out after this, though.
Definitely came out after this. This was 80s. Charmed is like the 90s. Remember Charmed with those witches? And
I don't remember Charmed at all.
I've seen a few episodes of Charmed front and back. Piper Page and Autumn Peegers.
Only thing I know about Charmed is that the theme song uses the Smiths' How Soon Is Now, which I guess is kind of an indication that it was later than the 80s.
Where's that reboot? Where's
our Charmed
reboot? We get into Sabrina reboot.
Where's our Charmed?
Oh, girl.
Oh, boy, why?
Why do we get any reboots nowadays? Why are we getting Heather's reboot? We don't need that.
Who knows on what channel?
I looked it up the other day, and I was literally like, I've never heard of this channel before.
Super TV.
It used
Extreme
to be,
Deluxe.
No, it's like Viacom Channel or whatever, which used to be Spike, like formerly known as the Artist Prince.
Yeah.
We get Martha's suicide attempt next, which is... Did it affect you in any way? I felt it was kind of funny, but, you know, since she didn't get a line and she's the only character kind of really suffering in this movie, it affected me a bit. She has her big fun shirt on.
Kind of like how I mentioned before, that was one scene I was affected by it. I was definitely interested in how the film knew that it was kind of tackling a somewhat sensitive subject and really... I feel like Martha's suicide attempt is one of the only big repercussions in the film.
Yeah.
Outside of JD's
eventual... I think it helps wake Veronica up, definitely.
Demise. Yeah, that's very true. Mm-hmm. And...
Even though she doesn't really know her in the movie, she knows her in the musical.
Because
Betty's fine. Betty never attempts suicide. Yeah, and Betty's kind of like her main bee. Mm-hmm. We get those grade school pictures. She invites her over for croquet.
Yeah, and the last Heather suicide attempt... Mm-hmm. Also might go a ways there. Toward that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not Duke, though. Duke is constantly a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Killer Bob.
She's trying to get that red bow in her hair, and she eventually succeeds in it, too. JG! And
she steals all the accessories from...
Heather Chandler.
Yeah, Heather Chandler's accessories that JD put in Veronica's locker.
Yeah, and it's all done in red. You can see that transition from green to red. Yep. She's stealing the color, so she's stealing that power. JD, speaking of Heather Duke, JD blackmails her with some photos of her and Martha Dunstock. So apparently they were friends.
Yeah, they were friends at one point.
In a few years ago in grade school.
I kind of wanted to see a bit more of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't blame that. I feel like... When I watch something, I kind of want it to come around full circle, so I kind of would have enjoyed seeing a reconciliation between those two characters, but I don't really think it was merited at all.
Yeah, I don't think we need it anymore. In fact, I think we could have trimmed just a bit from this movie.
Yeah.
I think an hour and 30 would have been perfect for this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, because I was saying just that a bit shorter. The end The end was a little bit dragged out.
I like the end more, though. I think even, like, a few storylines could have been cut entirely to make it a little bit more streamlined, and it would have flowed a lot nicer. Mm-hmm.
Do you have something in particular you're thinking of?
Like they did in the musical, I think they could have cut Betty's character.
Right.
I don't think she... And just replaced her with Martha.
Yeah, very true. And
made it flow a little bit better that way. We could have cut at least 10 minutes from that.
Yeah, maybe there was, like, some deleted scenes or something that kind
of gave Blu-ray. The characters more... This Blu-ray more had play movie... and play movie as options and nothing else.
Play movie and play movie at double speed.
You want to watch it twice as fast? Go ahead.
You can see it twice.
Why are you such a mega bitch? Why are you pulling on my dick? There are so many quotes in this movie.
It's true.
That you can fire off if you are a fan. I highly recommend it.
Thank God. Now that I know, I'm ready. My GIF game, my GIF game, is about to bump up a whole other level.
Thanks to this movie, honey.
Oh, yeah.
I love the fact that suicide eventually gets to the point where people just bat eyes at it. Heather Duke goes up to Ron and goes, "Did you hear? Martha Dunstock nearly kicked the bucket. She nearly bought the farm." And yeah, Veronica's like, "But is she dead?" And Heather's like, "No. It's just another attempt of the geeky kids imitating the popular cliques."
Oh, yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, but true.
I mean, rough, but exactly.
I think it speaks in ways that aren't spoken.
Yeah, I think that's why it cut me, or it affected me more than I thought a line like that would. Mm-hmm. Because there is, like, a kernel of truth to it. It's just upsetting. This film, I feel like it really does kind of have a lot more to say than... you would expect it to.
I'm glad you thought of that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you took it that way.
I was impressed, honestly. Hmm. And I mean, I just kind of love high school stuff in general. I always feel like they kind of are, they have to be character studies in a way.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Because everyone experiences that, especially in this country we live in. Everyone has that typical high school experience, whether it's either the best years of her life or the worst years of her life.
But it's always really interesting, and it's all about characters, like, introducing things, making things happen to each other. It's all the impact of somebody on somebody else, because, you know, it's not really... life doesn't really... at that point, life doesn't really hit you in the way it does in later years. Life is all about your friends and, you know, what you're doing on a Friday night. So I just can't get enough of this kind of stuff. Like, all the social cliques, it examined them pretty well, like, right in the beginning, too.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of them, it gave them their own reactions, their own due diligence, and their responses to the Heather's polls.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty...
Speaking of the Heather's polls, if Ed McMahon gave you $5 million, and you found out that aliens landed that same day, and we're going to blow up the world in 2 days, what would you do with that money?
That is a good question.
I meant to ask you that earlier.
Do you have an answer?
Well, I think along the lines, one girl answered it for me, I would throw a killer kegger party and just get shit-faced and call it a day.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me, too.
I think if I drank myself into a stupor, I wouldn't be able to feel anything, so...
Well, I'm really... I'm really selfish. So
sorry, I meant I would give it all to the starving children so they'd have 2 days of wonder and love.
Just to know what it was like before it was ripped away from them.
Before life gets taken from their cold, dead corpses.
No, that's the cruelest thing you could do. I think, well, I'm really selfish, so I would probably...
Oh, I'd buy a rocket and I'd leave
that's
the planet.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'd hit up Elon Musk. I'd be like, hey, is $5 million enough?
If not,
I'll take out a loan.
That definitely would not be enough.
I'll take out a loan. That's fine. Yeah. They don't know what's coming. Only I do.
Oh, no.
And yeah, I'm going to Mars, baby.
I'm glad Earth I know your answer. Yeah. What did you think of that dream sequence?
The nightmare one that Veronica had about JD.
Did you think it was real at first?
I thought it was mostly real. I thought it was pretty much real until, you know, you actually cut to the church. I thought it was real up until the point where everyone's wearing 3D glasses.
Yeah, but that spoke to me almost like murder, suicide, and death is just, you
it's
know,
entertainment for them.
Entertainment.
Exactly.
People cannot look away from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, you know, I go into this movie every time a little less, like, kind of thinking I won't enjoy it as much as I always do. But talking with you, it makes me remember why I like this movie in the first place.
Nice. I feel the same way. I mean, I liked it after it was over. Discussing it here is really bringing new layers into it and letting me appreciate it more.
That and the fashion in this movie and the cinematography, the set design, the colors, the lighting. There's some incredible lighting in this movie, especially in the nighttime scenes, because like, JD will be shot in the back with, like, blue light, mm-hmm. and it will combine with the colors that the characters are wearing,
yeah,
and
like
it
really stands out. And I'm thinking of when JD visits them at the farm, like, when he's introduced, it's,
yeah.
it is almost godlike, like you were saying, mm-hmm. and it is...
He's a Jesus figure. He's definitely... Figure. Yeah. He dies in a
high
cross
up, he's high up in the frame.
Arms, yeah.
Oh, that's true, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's high up in the frame. I think there's, like, smoke coming out in the background.
And JD instead of JC, Jesus Christ.
Could be. Nice.
But this movie did make me hungry for some spaghetti with extra oregano, the way I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just spaghetti. I need to have, like, some meat in there.
Well, I assume she must have had some meat.
Oh, I don't know. It wasn't mentioned.
My mom's making my favorite spaghetti with extra oregano. You can't make that yourself, Veronica.
When they said lots
of... All they eat is pate in that, this movie.
Yeah.
Twizzlers.
When they said lots of oregano, I thought... I originally heard it as box of oregano.
Box, yeah, just a box poured on.
Box of oregano and some spaghetti. Somebody touch my spaghetti and oregano.
Yeah. Topical memes.
See, I'm hip.
That was Meme Corner with Matt Cabrera.
Oh.
What did you think of Veronica's mock suicide attempt?
I feel like she could have done more to prevent the whole JD thing. Like, she could have, like, called in a bomb threat. Or she could have done something right then and there.
Well, I think she... I don't think she could, because the adults are very incompetent in this movie. I don't think anything... Mm-hmm. And no one's really listening to each other. It's just Veronica and JD. And she's like, I created a monster. I need to stop him myself.
I think she could have taken it into her hands a little bit more... A little bit earlier, a little bit more quickly.
Definitely.
I feel like she had a bit of an element of surprise, you know, with the noose wrapped around her neck and, well, waist.
Yeah. She's clever. She's a clever cookie.
I mean, that was definitely a good move. That was smart. Yeah, she got to find out his plan. But if it hadn't gone that way, like, what would she have done? Because, I mean, maybe she was planning on...
Become a psychopath, like...
No, maybe she was planning on even killing him or, like, doing something to him. Yeah. What's the word? Like, incapacitating him while she had the noose around her neck.
Well, she does take one life in this movie, technically. Mm-hmm. She kills Kurt or Ram. I can't tell you which one. I always forget. I always mix them up.
I'm going to say Kurt.
I'm going to say Ram.
Damn it.
I
think you're right.
I don't remember which one.
You've seen it countless times more than I have.
They're interchangeable.
It's true.
They're both football douchebags.
But, I think she was going to do that. But then he kind of started telling her his plan.
Yeah.
Well, telling her, but kind of just, he thought it was a monologue or a soliloquy. So he was just kind of mouthing his big plan for tomorrow. So maybe after that, she was like, oh, okay, I could figure it out then. Like, I don't have to do something right now that I know this is going to happen. But I don't, it was just a little bit weird the way it was all handled.
Mm.
Thing could have been a little bit more done, a little bit better. I feel like she's we've seen her to be smarter than that. We've seen her to be like one of the only reasonable, intelligent people in this film.
I thought it was pretty smart.
It was smart. I mean,
handling.
Yeah,
this noose was very crafty.
Yeah,
yeah. Especially that, since JD was going to kill her for no reason.
Mm-hmm. That was great. Very well done.
Yeah.
But what happened after that, I wasn't crazy about.
I like that last scene. I like the boiler blow-up scene. I think that's the best... I mean, I think that's my favorite, the strongest kind of sequence in the movie.
Really?
I do.
I wasn't crazy about it. I don't know. Just like...
Why not?
The
why
action not? Why, type
you tell
stuff.
Me, you tell me why not, and I'll tell you why I like it.
I think it's because we knew how it was going to end, so it was just kind of going back and forth.
You did?
Well, I did... You know, I did always hear it as a
pitch.
There's
something that always takes me by surprise. I don't know why I never remember it. Times I've seen this movie,
I do.
Every
hear
time
it.
I watch it, I always forget something happens in this scene, and it takes me by surprise every time.
I do always hear people calling this like a pitch black comedy. So I was thinking, like, maybe the school kind of does blow up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just at the same time, it didn't really seem like it would happen. It didn't seem like the school merited that because really, then JD would be winning and. I think the movie was pointing to that not happening at all.
I could see that, but the gruesomeness of it, she shoots off his middle finger, and they get in this spat where they're both cut and bleeding and bloody and limping. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember that.
Really?
I always think it's more campy and less gruesome than it's portrayed.
That's kind of surprising.
Until we exit the building, then it's just a Looney Tunes cartoon. It's their hair is blowing up. She lights the cigarette with the explosion of JD blowing himself up. It's just Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, which I get. But up until that point, before we get there,
yeah,
she shoots off that finger and spurts of blood come out.
Oh, kind
of
yeah.
The first real blood we see the whole movie.
Yeah, his hands are covered in it.
Yeah.
Wait, it is a little surprising because a movie like this, you could expect it to be a lot more gruesome than it turns out to be. But I don't... I love the middle finger sequence. Like,
I do
that
too.
Was great. That was kind of like, if you could do that to every dick who's ever thrown a middle finger in your face, like,
and
that's
he
really
takes
satisfying
it like,
to me.
He takes it like a pro. He's like, damn.
Yeah.
And he just waddles outside.
And he's just like, oh, I'm impressed with you.
Great job. You passed the test.
Also kind of sucks because he's going out on his terms, which I don't think he deserved. But at least that way she didn't have to take another life, which is probably...
Yeah.
A load off of her mind.
Do you think she loved him?
No.
No?
No,
I think she did.
I think she kind
of... I think a part of her did.
I think she really liked how he represented something different and kind of a bit of a way out of the life that she was used to.
Okay.
But she saw that it was totally couldn't last.
I do respect that she took back the power in that relationship, though.
Mm-hmm.
And all her relationships...
Oh,
by
definitely.
Stealing Heather Chandler's bow back and saying there's a new sheriff in town.
Oh, yeah.
She made that a self-fulfilling prophecy.
She became the queen bee.
And I respect her for
She's
it.
She's in charge.
She is Beyonce.
Not that I even think she wants to be. I think she just... She doesn't want anyone to mess with her. Like, she doesn't want the responsibility. She doesn't want to lead a new group of Heathers or anything. She just doesn't want to be messed with. She's done with that. She's done with cool guys like JD.
Okay, so we're going to give our final thoughts on the film, Matt, or what I'd like to call our last call. I'm going to make that stick even if it kills me, our last call.
No, I like it.
Eventually, we will have segments on this show, I hope. We'll get it down to a science, but right now we're still in the experimental process.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of have a bit of we have a bit of it sketched out anyway, you know, preliminary thoughts. Background.
Yeah, speaking of longtime listeners, I forgot to introduce the guest that's ever present in our podcast. In our first episode, you may have noticed a certain sound in the background, and that's, of course, my longtime companion, my dripping sink, that just doesn't shut up no matter what I do. So if it is in the background of this episode, congratulations, dripping sink, you are the winner of this week's challenge.
Ooh.
Shantae, you stay. If not, get the hell out of my life,
Dripping
Sink.
Dripping Sink, good job. You're always coming through.
I know.
Dripping Sink is
whenever I need someone, Dripping Sink is there.
Dripping Sink carries a team on its back.
Glub, glub.
Where would we be without it?
I don't know. So what did you think of Heathers, Matt? Going in and coming out.
Going in, I thought it was going to be a lot more muted. I thought it was going to be kind of stark. I thought it was going to be more dark than funny. Kind of more dramatic than comedic. Coming out of it, it really was kind of like you were saying, it was campy. It was a lot
more... Which are some of my favorite movies, so get used to some camp.
Oh, no,
definitely,
I'm into it.
Definitely more funny than this movie. I think some of the camp that I love is funny in a bad way and funny in an obvious way.
Uh-huh.
This is more of that dark kind of... It gets under your skin, you give a light chuckle kind of humor.
Definitely. Light chuckles... were continuous.
Not a hearty guffaw. Exactly. A light chuckle.
But it was kind of, more of a mockumentary-ish style of it. Very,
and I know you love
very dry. Oh, I do?
Mm-hmm.
Very dryly satiric.
Yeah.
Or satirical. But I think, I don't know if I appreciate it more than what my initial thoughts were or my initial perception of what the film would be. I think they're just different. And I do appreciate this for what it is. It's, more character deaths than I thought there'd be. And they were all treated pretty well.
I love my dead gay son.
Oh, so good. Like, there were some damn good lines in this.
Yeah.
Very...
A lot of quotable lines.
Yeah, it was more sincere than I expected it to be. It was a good reflection of Ohio in the 80s, which is, like, very specific, but very... I think it earns a lot more by being so specific and treating this or looking at this small portrait of a town. Yeah, I'm not sure. I could probably keep rambling, but I'm not sure how coherent it would
so
be.
So you liked it? You enjoyed it?
Yes.
All right. I'm glad. I'm going
how
into
How about
this
you?
Well, I've enjoyed... This is one of my favorite... Well, probably in my top 20.
Okay.
I'm not my top 10.
All right.
It's there,
That's
though.
That's good, though. I mean, you've seen a lot.
Because it's got my girl Winona in it,
mm-hmm.
who I've been obsessed with since birth. Ever since I first saw Winona, I love her. I don't know why.
So Winona's your mom, you're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Since birth.
She's my Joyce.
You I love hatched me. And you saw her and you just started following
Mama,
her around.
That baby duck effect, mm-hmm. imprinting. That's the word. I think it's more timeless. It still works today. I think if I showed this to some kids today, they'd still get the message of it, and maybe even take away a deeper meaning or two, which is always important. I think it's aged well.
Yeah, I used to see, they used to run, like, not marathons, but
I've never seen this on TV before.
They used to play it on IFC, like, all the time. Really? I think that's the only reason I know is because there would always be commercials for
Heathers. I've only seen it maybe on Showtime once or twice.
Okay, yeah.
But never on, like, basic cable.
Yeah, no, they played on IFC a lot.
Wow.
Which was...
edgy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's why
the likes
of
Kill Bill and whatnot.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is timeless. It has aged well, especially to be on a channel like that.
Mm-hmm. I think that it is a good film if you enjoy the 80s and the 80s mm-hmm. sensibilities, that look and feel, that crappy B-movie kind of, you know, something you just want to watch and have fun during. I think it's a good movie.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, I did have fun.
I'm glad.
Because I was going to say, I feel like it... I think all the murders really did take me by surprise, but they were...
As murders often do, I would hope.
Yeah. But they were... I'm sure I'm going to see my murder coming a mile.
Yeah, I know. After this movie...
this is it.
Well, everyone in this movie kind of walks into their own murder nonchalantly, like, oh, go stand in those circles, and I'm going to watch you guys strip. 3, 2, 1.
And on that note...
Wait, hold on. There's... I have a final question and then a...
Oh, boy.
A little
more
of what to come. My final question for the evening, Mats.
Yep.
Corn nuts. Plain or BQ?
It's got I'm not sure what BQ is. Because it's not BBQ. They say BQ. Is it... I'm gonna go with BQ because I can't do plain.
Of course. BQ all the way. You're not basic.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna... take you out. We're going to stroll out of Westerberg High, covered in soot and ash, and I'm going to leave you a little hint, and Matthew a little hint, for the movie to come.
Ooh, I'm
just
excited.
Give me a few seconds to look through my pages of notes.
Rustling paper sound effects.
I'm going to leave you with this quote from the next movie. Don't look it up, but it is the perfect Valentine's Day movie, and we'll be coming at you on or around Valentine's Day.
Is it Valentine's Day with... who would it be, like Jennifer Aniston?
No.
I can guarantee
that Matt and probably you out there, audience, have never seen this movie before.
Okay.
And I'm just that pretentious to assume that. If you have seen this movie before, please feel free to arrive on my doorstep and punch me in the face, spit on me, and knock me down the stairs. I will thank you for it.
You heard it.
But here's the quote. What I'm really interested in is love. You might say I'm addicted to love. Good night.
Good night.
Did you enjoy the show? I'd offer my own commentary, but I've still got popcorn kernels in my teeth and a slight aftertaste of gin I just can't seem to get rid of. Maybe I shouldn't use it as mouthwash anymore. If you would like to offer your own 2 cents on the podcast, be sure to rate, review, and dare I say, even subscribe. Don't forget to find us on most social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nightcap Cinema. Don't be afraid to join the conversation, offer your own take on the films we watch, or even suggest something that we should see. We are always welcome and open to all feedback. After all, everyone's a critic. Can I be real for a second? As an avid podcast listener and newbie podcast creator, I better understand now more than ever just how much work and dedication it takes to create and share things through this medium. By taking just a few seconds out of your extremely busy days, you can honestly make a world of difference even for us. Just a couple of the millions who talk about movies for shigs on the internet. Matt and I would like to personally thank anyone who contributes in any way. Remember, it's all possible thanks to listeners like you. Thank you. Huh? What do you mean that's not gonna fly with PBS, Matt? You think those antique road-showing geriatrics are gonna listen? You have got to be kidding me! Ugh, we'll just cut it in post.